Several years ago, I was preaching in Virginia, Minnesota, and this is to piggyback into what Linda's saying. And as I was getting ready to preach, you know, there are times, I guess the Lord don't think I have anything to say, and so he'll give me a word. But one word, kick him out. No. And so I feel that with what Linda was saying. I want us this morning to step out in faith. If you have pain, if you have sickness, if you have things going on in your body, when God heals you, come on up and tell people. Don't worry till they last the service, and don't worry for a week. When you know that God has healed you this morning, let's come and testify and glorify Jesus. Because that's what it is. Testimony is a word of prophecy. And while you're testifying about what God has done for you, he'll do it for somebody else. And so let's do that. Thank you, Linda. Easter Sunday. I don't know about you, young man, but it's the hardest time to get a message I ever go through. I know we can say Christ is risen. I know we can say a lot of stuff, but how many years has that been said for? And so people come saying, I want to hear something different. Well, you'll hear something dipper. I'll have Jeff come and talk about Pastor Fletcher. I want to talk about 2 points, maybe 3. Number 1, today is a great day to walk in victory. Today's a great day to walk in victory. Number 2, today is a great day to walk in hope. And number 3, and you did pretty good this morning, really good. Today is a great day to praise and worship God. You know, if you want to turn to your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. First Corinthians 15, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500. Brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains to this day, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all he was seen by me as one born out of due time, for I'm the least of apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I want us to understand something. There has been so much teaching about grace. And I know sometime people are going to reach a place where they say, I don't want to hear it anymore. Let's kind of change the subject. But everything God has done for us is because of His grace. Amen. And everything works through His grace. And everything comes back to His grace. And so we sit here today in victory and coming through some hard times for some of us, but we sit here today in victory because of the grace of God.
Amen.
If you have something going physically in your body, raise a hand. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we speak healing. We speak health. Lord, backs to be healed. Lord, body parts to be healed. Hearts to be healed. No more cancer, Lord. Just no fear from the sicknesses that Satan has tried to put on us. And in Jesus' name, we bring freedom to your people through the blood of Jesus Christ and because of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you, from the day you were born, believed in the resurrection? How many of you today still struggle that there could have been a resurrection? You're here, but you're not here intentionally. You're here because it's a good time to come to church. You see, there's a lot of C and E Christians. Christmas and Easter. You know? And we need to understand something. What God has written here, and we'll come back to victory in a minute, what God has written in His Word is actual fact. Yes. He's not prophesying something here. He's not saying someday Jesus is going to rise from the dead. He's not saying that this is yet to come. But this is what He says. And that He was buried, that He rose the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remains to the present, but some have fallen asleep. How many people do you need testifying for you? For a jury to make a decision that you were right. You know, you go to court with 500 witnesses. The judge is going to scratch his head and say, oh no. 512 to 520 people, counting the apostles, saw the resurrection. Now there's something deeper than that. How many of you, now think about this, how many of you are willing to die for a myth? I mean, we may not be suffering from mental illness. We may be enjoying it. But we're still not going to die for a myth. These people had families. These people had relatives. They had friends. They had things they wanted to do. But many of these 500 paid the price with their lives. And they're not going to pay the price with their lives if the resurrection is not fact. We wouldn't even do that. You don't do something to get the right result. You have the right result, and therefore you do something. The result was already there. Jesus was out of the grave. He saw these people. He talked to these people. Some of these people he broke bread with. And many of these people, he died with them. I mean, they died not doubting the resurrection. So, because of the resurrection, it's a great time, and I'm one of the first that have to do that. It's a great time to change focus and focus on what Christ has already done instead of what we're expecting him to do. It's now. We can get so caught up in the many things about religion that we forget it's all about a relationship.
That's true.
We can get caught up with what is wrong. What would you change about your life? I hear people saying, not so much here, but I hear people saying, well, if only I lived somewhere else. Huh? Especially about January. But let me ask you a question, a serious question. If we're not doing what God wants us to do here, why would he move us somewhere else where we can be disobedient?
It's true.
There's a calling, there's a purpose, there's a plan that God has put together for our lives. And part of that plan is that you and I learn what it means to walk in triumph, walk in victory. Second Corinthians. Second Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse number 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death. To the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for all these things? Okay. How many believe that? How many's ever had non-Christians that don't want to be around you? Why do you think that is? You're not, maybe you say, well, I'm not a preacher even. When you come in contact with someone who's anti-God, not wanting to live for God, not wanting anything to do with God, the life that's in you magnifies the death that's in them. When you come around another Christian, the life in each one of you magnifies the life in each one of you. And you say, well, I'm not trying to do anything. It's automatic because you have the Holy Spirit within you. And because the Holy Spirit magnifies Christ, there's a magnification process happening that other people sense, they feel. You know, here talking about an aroma, they must even smell it. So what needs to happen is that we need every day of the year to be Easter. We need to reflect on the life of Christ. Every morning we get up, every night we go to bed, and when we're with a bunch of people or we're alone, Christ and his resurrection is the focus.
Yes.
Do you understand this morning that you cannot be a Christian and deny the resurrection? Yeah. What are you talking about? Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 10, I'm sorry. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God didn't make it difficult. But Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that if there's no resurrection, we're living in futility. If there's no resurrection, there's no purpose for us to declare Christ. If there's no resurrection, we are hopeless and helpless beings, and we miss something. I want to give you just a simple prayer to, if you, how many have ever led someone to Christ and you had difficulty getting the prayer out? What it says here, this is not necessarily a sinner's prayer. This is a prayer of acknowledging belief in Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. How many have done that? What are the rest of you waiting for? For with the heart belief is made unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There are things that happen here. There is a heart change. There's a word change. And there is a confession that declares Christ. Now, I've been kind of around a long time. But how many of you have ever found a prayer in the Bible besides this one, when you're all done, declares you're a Christian? How many of us have ever come to a place when we look at this thing and we'll say, now let's pray a sinner's prayer? And you start going through the Bible, and what do you find? This one. This prayer will change your life. This prayer starts you on the path of pursuing Jesus. And we need to look at it. If I believe in my heart, okay, when we come to that place that with our mouth with our heart, we believe. Okay, look at me. There's no one, if you want to believe, who will not have enough faith to believe. You say, what are you talking about? For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 12:3 says, he's given to everyone a measure of faith. You have, and the people around you, have enough faith within them to become a believer. So it's not God's plan that they don't become a believer. It's the devil's plan. Right. And so God even provides the faith that we need to have. And with that faith, we begin to talk about it. If we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, how many of you can talk? And so he gives us the faith to believe, and then he tells us here what to confess. There's very little in the salvation plan that's based on us, and the only thing based on us is a willingness to receive. It's like with healing. It's a gift. We don't earn it. We just receive. So, go back to 1 Corinthians 15 with me. Verse number 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ from the dead, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. Now look at verse 19. Great day for hope. Amen. If in this life only we have hope, in Christ, we of all men, the most pitiful. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. So on a spectrum from 1 to 10, where are you at with the resurrection? 8, 9, 7, 6. Where are you at? Verse 17 of 15. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, or your faith is empty, and you are still in your sins. Now the thing of it is, are we doing okay? The thing of it is, why did Christ have to rise from the dead? He paid the price, shed his blood, was buried. What is the purpose of him rising from the dead? Defeated sin? Is there one bigger than that? Okay, let me ask you something. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:5, I believe it is, that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now look with me and don't throw a rock yet. Wait till I'm a little healthier and I can duck. If Christ is not risen, you are still in a state of hopelessness to be justified and to be reconciled to the Father. You say, what are you talking about? The mediator between man and God, the Father, is Christ Jesus. The Bible says he ever lives. In Romans 7, or in Hebrews 7:25, I believe, he ever lives to make intercession for us. If he's not there, we have no advocate and we have no intercessor. Right?
Right.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Now give me a good Pentecostal amen.
Amen.
Man, that's scary. That's scary. And so not only did he have to die, but he also had to resurrect. Or John 14:6 would not be applicable to our lives. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. If Jesus wasn't there with the Father, there'd be no access. That's why we have to come to a place of taking a look at the whole picture. Because we get caught up so many times in what people say. And that's why we need each other and get together with each other, because that motivates us stronger to become one who is testifying of truth. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter, have fervent love for one another. The Bible tells us, honor one another. The Bible tells us something, and this is not my message, but the Bible tells us, and I was just reading it this morning, that the end of all things is coming. Therefore, we should use the gifting of God. Say gifts.
Yes.
Say, I should use.
I should use.
the gifts of the Holy Spirit,
the gifts of the Holy Spirit,
to build up the body of Christ,
and make sure
that we're flowing with Christ. See, one way that you're going to find out where I am or where somebody else is by saying, God told me. How many of you ever had someone say, God tell you? It's not always true. But I'd rather listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying instead of blowing it off and doing my own thing. And so it tells us to honor the brotherhood and sisterhood. You womenhoods. It comes to that place where we are so connected to the body of Christ. And we heard about the progress and all the stuff of growth. But take another look at that. What is that doing? It's building a body whose focus is on Christ, whose purpose is to reach the goals Christ had for us, and whose purpose is to come to a place where we're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we put more focus, say more focus, on somebody else's needs than mine. Let me show you something. I think it's in 1 Peter. For this reason, the gospel was preached in verse 4-6. Also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. How many remember that Jesus went and preached in hell? When he was dead, he went down and set the captives free. Right? Did you ever read that? Did you ever understood it? But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watching in your prayers. Above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. God has never promoted inactivity in a church. And if the end of all things is coming, how many believe that?
Amen.
The end of all things is coming. What are we going to do different?
That's right.
Not that we're saved by works, but there's people barely hanging on. The Bible says if the ungodly scarcely be saved, where will the unrighteous be? And that word scarcely means with great difficulty. And so God gives us words. God gives us plans. God promotes a lot of things within us. And we need to learn out when does he want us to say it. Turn back to 1 Peter 2:9. You have something every day to praise God for.
That's true. Amen.
So let's look at 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as an evildoer, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. It's very amazing that many Christians can go all week without praising God. Because God asks us for praise.
Yes.
Turn back to Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Coming to the place, and I'm done. Well, I'm almost done. Coming to the place where we don't need someone to tell us to praise God, but it's just where we are in our lives with Jesus, and we're just absolutely thankful and in love with God for what he's done for us. I like Psalms. If I wish I'd get out of Isaiah. Psalm 98. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of the psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Someday, we're going to be in the midst of radical praise.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And you say, well, not me, I'm this or I'm that. Yeah, you will. Because if you're not in the midst of radical praise, you're in a place where there's no praise. Just cursing and blasphemy. Easter, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. So enjoy the rest of the day, but don't forget what the rest of the day is all about.